We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making it cool to be a conservative. So I'm looking at a few text messages already dropping in. You're welcome to text the show or call the show. Same number for both, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Like I said, text it or call it. John from Huntsville already texted in. He says, Phil, awesome monologue. And just for a minute or two, imagine that I'm Joe Biden typing you a text message. It goes like this. It says, hey, this is Prime Minister Joe Biden. I want to say I love Kiteside Radio because it takes me back to a time when me and my Polish cousin Vinny were flying giant rainbow kites in Warsaw. Anyway, got to go play some golf with my Vice President Donald Trump. She says I'm ready, already a half hour late. Joe Biden, Moscow, Ukraine. You know, actually, that's probably not too far off base.
It sounds like it was written with AI.
John is our AI. That's Jeff from Indiana says, but remember, Phil, the opposite is also true. One man with no knowledge can also change the world, hence the Biden administration. Wow. Zazing. You know what? You're going to have to come up with some kind of a sound effect that like does like zazing. I don't know what we're going to do here, but what do you got one?
Nope,
that's not it. John from Harvest says, Phil, good monologue. The main takeaway from Grandpa Joe's big boy press conference is that President Biden and Vice President Trump have done a marvelous job supporting President Putin of Ukraine. Yep, we're in good hands. God help us these next 6 months. Yeah, so basically we're jumping into the dipper here already. I'll just go ahead and say I sat there and watched the whole thing last night. Good. Goodness. Did he do better than the debate? Yeah. Did he do enough to allay concerns? No, I don't think he did. What we saw last night was him holding his own for the most part and yet still riddled with gaffes, which, by the way, a gaffe happens. You say stuff. I said something the other day. I forgot what it was on the air and somebody corrected me on my date or my year. So I forgot what it, I understand that. Sometimes that happens. When you're in the middle of a moment, you're speaking. If you speak out of turn slightly, it just happens. With him, it appears to be endemic. It is this thing that just like happens as a natural course of virtually every other. In fact, it's gotten so bad that you almost sit waiting with bated breath to see when it's going to happen, not if. And he had some doozies yesterday. I mean, there he is on the world stage, literally on a stage with world leaders, and he introduces the president of Ukraine, who's at war with Russia. Of course, Volodymyr Zelensky is the president of Ukraine. He introduces him as President Putin, the guy he's at war with. Now, did he catch it? Yeah, he stepped away from the podium and went, oh my gosh. And he stepped back and goes, I'm so sorry. You're a lot better than that guy or something like that and tried to recoup the moment, but it was already done. The memes are already being made within seconds. And then last night, He's doing his thing. He's up there doing his big boy press conference, and he's up there doing the thing. And he literally accidentally calls Kamala Harris Vice President Trump. And the whole room, you can see the whole room kind of go, like, oh, no. Yep, he did it. He went there, and he never realized he had done it. He just kept on going. Does stuff happen sometimes? Yes. But when we sit there with like a sheet of paper making marks on it for every single gaffe, it's our tally sheet because we're expecting it. So we have a scorecard running. When people are at a bar taking shots every time he has a gaffe, playing the gaffe game, you know, when the bookies are laying odds on how many gaffes he'll have, it's not normal. At that point, it has become completely endemic to who he is. What did it do for his support? Not a lot of good. Just sitting here looking right now, Mark McEthrin, one of the guys that we follow each other back and forth on Twitter, he just posted something I hadn't seen yet. Just in the last couple of hours on Twitter, it was a Fox News story, a breaking news story just in the last 2 hours saying that all of Biden's super, or not, I'll say all, let me phrase it the way they say it. Biden's super PAC funds are frozen. That's a huge deal. Big Rig and I were talking about that off the air, and what that basically means is the super PACs, which are the big money spending organizations who gather up the funds and bundle them, and then they're prepared to spend millions on your behalf you're not allowed to coordinate directly with it. The campaign can't give them a call and say, why'd you freeze our funds? Because the law does not allow direct communication with the PAC. But everybody knows what PACs are aligned with who. Well, right now, what we're hearing is that super PAC funds that Biden needs to spend hundreds of millions of dollars with are frozen. If that's true, that is huge. Or in Mark McEthren's tweet, he goes, well, this is a thing. Yes, it would be. Also heard last night for the first time, it was reported on CNN because I went to CNN to see how they were going to discuss the press conference. And on CNN, the news broke that they had reliable sources telling them that Pelosi and Obama had already had a meeting this week. There's no reason for them to do that. They weren't just getting coffee. They weren't hanging out and swapping stories about their grandkids. No, they were likely having a discussion about, holy cow, what do we do? More on this when we get back to Left Unraveling, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Wow. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. And I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. I got some more text messages in, some of which just cracked me up. I just looked at them. So a minute ago, I made the comment that if your president is up there and every time he gives a speech, people in the bars are having, you know, doing shots every time he makes a gaffe, you know that this is more than just a normal malaprop or a slip up. No, it's like it's endemic to the guy. John from Harvest goes, my God, if we had to take a shot every time Biden gaffed, we'd be comatose in an hour. Jeff from Huntsville said, there's a new drinking game every time Biden says, anyway, he's taking a shot. Yeah, he does that. That, by the way, that's his tell. He forgot what he was going to say or he realized he was rambling.
You see that picture he sent with it?
Was there a picture with it? No. Was it? Oh, Lord. Yeah, he's got
the weekend at Biden's.
Weekend at Biden's with Obama and Jill holding him up. Yeah, it's awful. It's awful. Chip from Muscle Shoals says, Phil, how, if Biden's not competent to run for president, is he okay literally to be the president? Chip, you ask the question. I was literally about to get to that. That's the question right there. So as Democrats are unraveling, they have to deal with that. Not only are they not sure what they're going to do about maintaining their power base, you know, and what's their agenda? Where's our agenda going to go? And are we going to lose, you know, the House and the Senate now, too? What's the down ballot going to look like? What they're also looking at is they've been living such a lie that the only way they can get rid of him is to admit he's not competent. Their biggest hope right now, their biggest hope is that he will step down willingly and of his own accord, so to speak, make an announcement that he's lost the confidence of his, you know, trusted allies and the populace, and he's willing to not be the candidate and encourage people to then move on with whoever they nominate. He could do that, and then they could say, see, he's just lost confidence. We've lost confidence in him. Doesn't mean he can't govern for a few more months. But if he doesn't step down willingly, if they have to remove him, well, then you have to ask the question. If you're removing him from the ballot, well, why don't you just remove him from the office? Because if he can't go out and make a snappy campaign speech and kiss babies and shake hands, give a speech here and there without goofing up and causing embarrassment, then how in the world does he run the Situation Room at the basement of the White House or deal with foreign policy that, you know, interacts between nations or take a call from Xi and try to maintain his decorum? We got.
I feel like that goes hand in hand with JT from Lacey Springs.
What'd he say?
He's got a meme he'd posted, and it shows Trump on a little whiteboard. It says, after the debate, it's clear Joe doesn't need a cognitive test. His voters do.
Oh, wow. There's another one of those things. See, you got to have a sound effect that goes zazing or something. We got to have something like, you know, just, yeah, absolutely. In fact, JT even said on the sound effect, he says snappy comments like Jeff's, which I would say snappy comments like JT's, should be followed by the cracking of whips.
Swakow, swakow. That's good. Yeah, I need to look for a cracking
whip. There's got to be. Do we not already have one?
I don't think so.
Okay. Dang.
I'll find one.
Your vast repertoire of sound effects is growing as we speak. Gary from Decatur says, It'd be much easier to expose the plausibility voting fraud with Biden as the candidate than the first woman of color being the candidate for president. Beware of Kamala Harris. Yeah, that's the other thing they got going on. So he makes a point. If they don't want Kamala, then they are in a bad way because they are so enmeshed in DEI. They are so all about having the glass ceiling broken. I mean, look at it. President Biden himself only nominated someone to the Supreme Court after they was determined that they were qualified and a black woman. It wasn't about their skills as a jurist. It was about whether they were a black woman. So what are they going to do now with Kamala? If they don't want her, they have to explain to the world why suddenly they're dealing with, what we really needed was a white guy. We got to have a white guy. Good luck with that. Although, technically, that's kind of what they did last time. I mean, they went with the whitest of white guys. They went with Mr. Pasty. They've got like the Pillsbury doughboy without, he's just pasty. He's the whitest of white guys ever in the history of white guys ever. John C. from Madison, I'm enjoying these texts. John C. from Madison says, is it only the vice president that can do the 25th Amendment against the president? It's the vice president and half the cabinet. So the vice president and four members of the cabinet have to unite together and present to Congress that they are invoking the 25th Amendment. The president then has the ability to resist. If the president says, I refuse to step down, then it becomes a matter of a vote of the House of Representatives, I believe, which requires a 2/3 majority.
How much time do you think that would take?
Oh, it would not happen. It would be an emergency. They would literally convene on an emergency session. It wouldn't delay. So if Kamala wants to get her game on and call Pete Buttigieg and three others and they get together and go, yeah, let's do it. And they present, here's the problem. To do that, you have to go back and ask them then, okay, last week you gave a speech fully supporting him. What changed in 7 days? So good luck, Kamala. You've been living a lie. And now guess what? The lie's caught up with you. Text messages are going crazy right now. Steve from Tennessee says, Biden does not kiss babies. He sniffs them. Steve, you are so correct. You got to get that whip cracking sound effect, man. We got to have it. That was good. Steve from Madison. He needs to step down as president, let Kamala have the office. I'm not encouraging it because I believe it would be to their benefit, but it would be the right political move. Yeah, but you're asking them to be a statesman. That's the problem, Stephen. You're asking them to be a statesman. And we've not seen that. He might get up there and laud it out, but look at everything he does. You can tell there is a touch of what's in it for me. I mean, even when you've got flag-draped coffins being brought off the planes, he's looking at his watch. When you've got, mothers who lost their children to illegal immigration, he doubles down on keeping the border open and doesn't bother calling the mothers to console them. It's always, and every time he gives a speech, I grew up in a mosque. I grew up in a synagogue. I grew up in a Irish, Polish, Catholic family and things. And, my name was Bidenopolis. And it's on and on and on. Goes to a black church and says, I grew up in the black church. Stop it. You know why he's doing that? Because he has this desperate need to be identified as one of theirs. And people like that are generally not statesmen. Richard T. from Madison, will you explain that when Biden mispronounces a name, everyone calls for him to step down, but when Trump mispronounces a name or forgets his wife's name or says something outrageous like using the military against Americans, no one, especially the Republicans, says a word? This is an acceptable double standard? This is my Richard T. Things are all bad. I'm your, token liberal texting you in. So, Richard T., let me ask you something. What is the difference? And the difference is, with Biden, there is a cognitive disconnect, and it's obvious. With Trump, he just says things you don't like or occasionally has a slip-up, and the slip-ups are so rare you have to go back and find them. With Biden, like I said, people are throwing down shots every time he has a gaffe because it's a game now. So you're putting apples and oranges together. Are they both older? Yes, they are. Do they both have idiosyncrasies? Sure, they do. But you're implying that somehow they're on par, and they're not. There is absolutely not a cognitive disconnect, or for that matter, even a physical disconnect. You can watch them. Biden rides a bike trying to prove to the press that he's something, but he accidentally falls over while he's in front of the press. Trump goes out and tees off, plays 18 holes, gets up on stage and dances and has a good time. Doesn't always use a teleprompter. Biden can't give a speech without a teleprompter, and even then he messes it up because he actually reads out the periods and the quotation marks. Keep trying, Richard T. You haven't gotten there yet. Sandy from Elkmont. You know what? I have done an entire segment on just text messages. Sandy from Elkmont, and I love that, by the way. You know what that means? Audience is alive and awake and moving forward. Here we go. Sandy from Elkmont says, they're getting ready for Kamala to run. If you don't vote for her, then you're sexist and racist. And then John from Huntsville, one more, and then we'll jump back on the topic. Says, Phil, if they get a black woman as president, what's next? A transsexual president? Maybe a gay president? I mean, they're going to – listen, John, so here's the bottom line. DEI says identity politics. That's what it is. They're searching out identity politics. So to answer your question, yeah. Because when identity politics is what you run by, then you have to identify as some demographic within all the intersectionalities that the Dems love to identify. So they're going to find one, man. And they're going to, it's a glass ceiling. We got a new one. What do we, have the first transgender furry who's going to be vice president. It's awesome. Thinks he's a horse. It's great. This is going to be so good. We'll saddle him up and bring him into the White House, feed him hay and have a great time. That's there's no telling. But woke is as woke does, right? All right. Did I get my top? We're going to count that as starting my topic because everybody's engaged right now. You guys are an amazing audience. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come right back, and then I'm jumping right on in, man. I got some storyline here. What were the five big takeaways from the big boy press conference last night? I'll tell you what they were. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, I'm jumping on. Well, actually, I've been in it. I'm in the dipper. I am neck deep in the dipper. Thanks to you guys. I mean, I had more material out of that time on text messages than I have in my stack of stuff. But let me do this. The left unraveling. That's where I am. And the left unraveling is I think I said it yesterday. It's unraveling from the top down. That's what's so interesting is the dynamic of this. If you look at things generally, like look back at 2020, the left, the elite got to sit in their ivory towers while the leftists at the bootstrap level were out burning down buildings. Right? You had the grassroots that was putting on their masks and demanding that businesses shut down and kids be kept home from school and trying to change the election laws and BLM riots and burning down the streets and largely peaceful protests and all of that. While the elites who like to orchestrate it and laugh and go, ha, 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 look what we did, they sat up in their ivory tower not having to worry. Guess what? The ivory tower is what's crumbling right now. What we're seeing right now is the elites having no idea what to do on the left. Because the top of the ticket is what's crumbling. We're not talking about the grassroots. They're still as bat-stir crazy as you could imagine. But the top of the ticket is struggling. They don't have a plan. They're not sure what to do. Joe won't back down yet. Holy cow, what do we do? Well, I don't freeze his funds. By the way, one of the things that happened last night, the one thing that Joe Biden said, and I think it was one of his whisper moments, but I hate it when he does that, by the way. I don't know if you've seen this. He like leans forward. He gets a creepy look on his face and he goes, that's not going to happen. It's like, stop that. I mean, like, you're the kind of person that, you know, makes me want to look under the bed at night. I just stop that. But last night he made one of the last things he said before he left the stage at his press conference. One of the last things he said was the only way he would step down is if his staff came to him and said there was no way he could win. Well, what he just did was open the door. He just opened the door. Think about it. He just opened the door to have a conversation. If they can tell me it's that dire and there's no way I can win, well, then maybe. And I'm thinking, wow, why would you do that? Well, the reason why he did that is because they've been doing that. I guarantee you there have been conversations. And as long as he keeps seeing 2%, 3%, 10% saying it's okay, he's still in because you're saying there's a chance, Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance. Here's the other thing that I think is also actually happening right now. I think that the left is unraveling as Biden is negotiating. I think Jill Biden and Hunter are actually negotiating something on his behalf right now. How do we have a soft landing? How do we leave with dignity? How do we have some money out of this? What are you going to do for our legacy? How do we get something? What's going to happen to the family? Do we get a book deal? Can you go ahead and tell, you know, one of the liberal book companies to make sure that we get a $4 million book deal, even if the book sucks? That way we've got some cushion, you know, we got some landing. So you watch. Now, here's the next thing. I heard somebody say this the other day, so credit to whatever pundit it was that I heard say this. I can't think of their name. I wish I had thought of it my own, but I grabbed hold of it, and I'm going to say it to you now. The next thing to watch is for a whistleblower. The next thing to watch is for that upstanding young citizen working in the White House to come in and say, listen, I was in a meeting, and I've got a tape of it, and here's what happened. Or I was in a meeting and the staff said this about him, and they've known it for X number. Someone's gonna get thrown under the bus because someone's gonna be a whistleblower. If they can't get him to step down on his own, then you wait and watch. Someone's gonna come forward that gives them the ammunition they need. All right. That being said, last night the press conference. So I went to Axios. Phil, did you go to Axios? I did. Axios has a piece that was actually pretty good. Remember the press conference was an hour late? So it delayed by an hour. No explanation. He walked out on the stage, got right to it. Didn't even say, excuse me for being late. Not that I heard, anyway. With the world watching, Axios says President Biden delivered a press conference performance that was, quote, strong enough to buy time, but wobbly enough to keep the mutiny going. In other words, it was the quintessential two Bidens. You know, 1 minute he's on, okay, he's doing good, okay. Oh crap, what did he say? And that's where they are. Said Biden was displaying a firm command of foreign policy as he talked about his 3-day NATO summit and national security issues, then he would begin to ramble and be incoherent, reinforcing Democrats' concerns that he's too flawed of a messenger to keep his ailing campaign going. So what are the takeaways? With a little bit of time here, I'll give you some of it. Number one, he had a polling denial. One of the takeaways was his denial of the polls. Get this. Despite the fact that his campaign has already spent $170 million, can you imagine the money? $170 million has already been spent. His words were, all the polling data right now is premature because the campaign really hasn't started. What? Now, maybe what he meant to say was in earnest, but I would say $170 million also means in earnest. And then there was this, the next takeaway. Major gaffes. He called Vice President Kamala Harris Vice President Trump, didn't ever catch it. He earlier in the day had called President Zelensky President Putin. He did catch that one, but it was already out. Then there was the pacing question, the pacing answer. He was flat out. By the way, kudos to several members of the press who chose to ask real questions. And you could see on his face at times he didn't like them. Biden disputed reports that he privately has acknowledged needing to go to bed early, reframing it as a matter of just pacing himself for the day. He paces himself. He also appeared to blame his staff. I've never taken a shine to leaders who will throw their staff under the bus as a reason for why they did what they did. And then, truth be told, the press conference was 2 minutes over. 2 minutes. And a senior member of the House, chairman of the House, or top-ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Jim Hines, issued a statement calling him to withdraw after the press conference. More on this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on this Friday. Now, don't forget, coming up bottom of the hour, Congressman Dale Strong calling in, giving us his feedback on what he's seeing and hearing up in D.C. By the way, the lovely Charlene just sent me a meme. Okay. It says, please tell me the nuclear launch button and Joe's life alert button are not on the same lanyard. That's funny and not funny all at the same time. All right. Hey, listen, more text messages real quick. Brand spanking new to the text line. Glad to have you, Oki in Hazel Green. Oki from Hazel Green, you're in there. Said, wouldn't it be hilarious if they did the 25th Amendment, sent it to Congress, and they denied it? That could happen. And by the way, that's to be expected. The margins are so slim. A two-thirds majority, I believe, is what is required. Well, that means it's going to require quite a few Democrats to vote in favor of it, too. So expect that. That's also part of the risk. If you're going to put your name out there on something, you better know you got the votes. But I'll also say this, too. If it gets to the point that Kamala Harris and half the cabinet are invoking the 25th Amendment, don't think for a second that they haven't already called Pelosi and Hakeem Jeffries and said, line it up because we're coming at you and you better not leave us high and dry. So, yes, it could absolutely happen. Just so you know, 1819 News right here in Alabama has response from last night's press conference from some of our own U.S. delegation and one of our candidates. Caroline Dobson was on the show yesterday, and they've got her quoted as talking about how the big boy press conference went pretty well. President Putin, Vice President Trump, and Biden's commander in chief would all agree. Those were some of the bloopers. And you know, the one about commander in chief, I get it. He was obviously trying to say chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And you hate it for the guy because that was a moment where it's like, holy cow, he screwed that up. But when you add it to all the other ones, then it's no longer funny. It's no longer at that moment a gaffe. It's a problem. It says here in the 1819 piece that Gary Palmer said, doesn't matter whether Biden stays in the race, steps down, or is replaced, the Democrat policies are going to be the same no matter who's on the ticket. And I think that's true. They're not going to bring in... Listen, if they think they can bring in Joe Manchin and still keep their liberal agenda going, they would. But I don't think they will because Manchin's not going to be on board with all of it. And so it's a mess. Now, listen, what did last night really mean? Where do they go from here? This is number one of the triple dipper right now. The left is unraveling. And I'm going to get off the press conference and give you other examples here in a minute. All right. But let's keep talking about the fact. First of all, the unraveling is coming from the top down this time, not the bottom up. There's a lot of bottom up going on, but the bottom up is because of the top down, if that makes sense. What folks are seeing at the top of the ticket is what is driving the train on the unraveling. This is not a question of the base is fragmented. This is not a question of, you know, crazy is happening and the liberal elites get to sit in their ivory tower and cackle and just keep, you know, pulling the puppet strings. It's not like that. In this case, the puppet masters are the ones who are breaking down. They've been exposed for having to have a puppet in the White House who is no longer able to get the job done to the satisfaction of anybody, including them. And they are now openly rebelling against him, and the left has no idea how to handle this. Fox News has a piece came out this morning. Critics agree the Biden press conference was the worst possible outcome for Dems. He's not going anywhere. So I will say this. Do I think he's negotiating? Probably. Or at the very least, I think some of his insiders, Jill Biden and Hunter, I think they're probably negotiating for a soft landing for him because they see it coming. Something's going to happen. That being said, time is passing by. By the way, do you remember I predicted this over a month ago? Probably 2 months ago. I said the reason why they had the debate so early, by the way, the debate was much earlier than usual in any presidential cycle, and they're having their Democratic National Conference so late, much later than usual, so much so that several states, Alabama included, had to make special allowances just to allow Biden to get his name on the ballot because they're past the time that state law would allow ballot access. That being said, I think they did that spread of time because they were already worried. They saw this coming. They let Biden do his thing on the debate, and it just rock bottom, and now Biden won't step down. So they needed last night. You heard Nancy Pelosi yesterday. They needed last night. Let's see what he does. I mean, listen, we'll be able to call for it. If he falls on his face, we'll be able to call for it. He didn't fall on his face. I think Jeff from Indiana nailed it yesterday. He said if he gets up there and he has notes and people he can call, that means they've prepped it and they're trying to give him a chance to save himself. I think they were trying to give him a chance to save. I think Jeff's right. Had he had no notes and was winging it and had no real preparation, you would have known they threw him to the wolves. In this case, at least his team is trying to keep him solvent. But according to Fox News, a number of Democratic operatives are saying, oh my gosh, this is exactly what we did not need. One of them said, quote, this is going to end in the worst possible place for Democrats. Verbal gaffes does nothing to quell the nerves, yet nothing sufficient enough for Democrats to break out the political long needle. Have I got a call on the line? I did not even realize. I'm so sorry. I'll get to it in 1 second. Another one said, this is very familiar Goldilocks performance. It's not bad enough to open the floodgates, but not good enough to silence the critics. One of them, Jackie Heinrich from Fox News, was texting back and forth and just shared, without the name, shared what she was texting and said a Democratic source was telling her it was the worst possible outcome unless you're Hunter and need a pardon. And she said, why? Because it prolongs him stepping down? And the answer was yes. So last night, the Dems who want him gone was not what they needed. They needed them to fall apart. He did just enough to hold on and walk off the stage. All right, let me jump on the phones. Is that Jeff Rowe? Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hey, Phil.
Oh, don't you stop that. Stop it right now. Stop that.
No joke.
Turn his mic off. Turn his mic off right now. Dadgummit. Get on my show. Start whispering like Joe Biden. That is awful, man. It's freaking creepy.
Joe, baby.
That is just creepy when he does that. I hate it when he does it's the two things he does when he flips his character. One is when he goes creepy Joe and whispers and gets the big eyes. You know, his eyes kind of get, it goes from being a little beady eyes to kind of big eyes, and he leans forward and whispers. The other one is when he goes angry Joe. Like last night, he had a brief outburst of angry Joe when he talked about guns. Remember that? Did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you notice what went on last night, though?
What's that?
If you'll notice, they all had their pre-screen questions and everything, and yes, he had his notes and stuff.
Yeah.
But the follow-up question.
Yeah.
They had the first question, and he could answer that or whatever, but then says, you know, what did you do for NATO and that blah, 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 this, need answering it. And then Gretchen Whitmer says, you need a cognitive test. And then that's when he was stumbling and getting... that's when he just about pooped his pants when they started asking those questions. I'm thinking... So half those questions, they were pre-screened, and the first question was that, but they usually never, you know, if they ask a follow-up question, it's usually about the same subject, but they were changing the subjects completely around on him. I mean, they would ask a question about Vladimir Putin or whatever, and then, boom, you know, let's talk about your cognitivity, you know, and he didn't know what to do with those.
No, in fact, and what was interesting, too, was when sometimes he would get the questions, even the questions that you know that were planned. You could tell that he would ramble, and you would realize he's not sure how to tie it up now. He'd ramble so long that they'd start going, well, anyway, you know, like, that's his tell. Yeah. Anyway is one of the signs that he's lost his train of thought.
He didn't have a teleprompter. He had notes sitting down there, and he couldn't just sit there and hold them up for his little beady eyes there and just keep reading them off. Or had to make it look, you know, somewhat good, and then he'd lose his train of thought because he couldn't see what he said.
It was... Listen, it did not inspire confidence. If you were a bad guy on the world stage, you're still not worried. Last night was a clear indication that old boy's got problems.
And I'm afraid. Can you say President Kamala?
Dude, you know what? That's the bed they made, and hopefully we don't have to lie in it. But the reality is, I don't know this for a fact yet, but what I'm hearing is all of the campaign donations that they have access to have to go to a Biden-Harris ticket or the remainder of a Biden-Harris ticket. They can't just throw out Biden-Harris and then still use the money. I don't know. We'll see, man. Yeah. It's every day is a new adventure right now.
Oh yeah, we just got to remember a vote for Joe is a vote for Kamala. So if you want Kamala in there, I don't want him to ask. I don't need to hear what Trump has to say. I know what he's going to say. I don't need to ask Biden what he's going to say because whoever writes the teleprompter, that's what he's going to say. I want to know what Kamala is going to say because that's what scares me. I want to know where her head's at without him on stage.
What she's going to say is what she always says, something like the thrill of tomorrow unburdened by yesterday or something equally knuckleheadish. It's just, listen. All right, brother, I got to go to a break. You be safe on the road, all right?
I'm trying.
All right.
Have a good one.
See you, man. Take us to a break there, Big Rig. We'll do it. We're taking the break right now. We'll come right back. Take a few more text messages, wrap up a little more of the unraveling, and then don't forget, coming up bottom of the hour, Congressman Dale Strong calling in from D.C. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just giving you all the truth you can put on a bumper sticker. Handy man from Caddo texted in. He said, this sounds like a commercial. Help, I've nuked someone and I can't get up. Oh, Lord. That's just not good. Patrick from Grove Oak says, are they going to be able to control Harris like they do Biden? Yes, I think they would, actually. I think so. Brian S. from Huntsville says, to answer a question you asked yesterday, Phil, the reason Marco Rubio lost a lot of conservative credibility is because he joined with four Democrats, John McCain, Jeff Flake, and Lindsey Graham, in the Gang of Eight immigration bill to try and promote amnesty for illegal aliens. Okay, we can look back on that, and I know that, the bottom line is find me the perfect candidate, but I do think that Rubio is stronger than you give him credit for. I got a phone, is that Kareem? Kareem from Huntsville's on the, Kareem, how you doing, my friend?
How you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
I think you guys got it all twisted, because no one worships Biden. We don't think he's the second coming of Christ. So if they was to replace him, so what? You guys must understand, it doesn't matter to me or the ones I don't, who's at the top of the ticket.
Yeah.
As long as it's not Trump. So every vote that was going to go to Biden is going to go to whoever they put there. They could put Scooby-Doo or AI-generated man. It don't make a difference.
Well, it does.
It's a vote against Trump.
Okay.
We know why there's a placeholder right now. That's all.
Oh, well, see, that's a disturbing admission on your part to say that you know he's just a placeholder, because the people who elected Biden, they didn't elect a placeholder. They elected Biden.
I said the same thing in 2016. I mean, in 2020, we knew what it is. We know Pop is 100 years old. We knew he wasn't going to make it to the next round. But it doesn't make a difference.
Well, okay,
this is what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I agree with you. Let me tell you why I agree with you. I agree with you. It doesn't make a difference, because I think that the policies are what matters. And I think that the policies that you embrace are the ones that are going to be in play regardless of who gets in the seat. But what bothers me right now, and here's what bothers me, is if a missile comes flying in at 3 a.m, it doesn't wait to see what the policies are going to be. There's a decision point and there's a person, and the Constitution says that guy has to make a decision. And right now, that guy can't decide what to eat for breakfast.
I understand, but I know they won't catch the country with their pants down, because nobody's going to wait for Biden to say, oh, you should do this or you should do that.
Oh, you say that, but guess what?
My point is,
if you want to launch a nuclear missile without having the President of the United States give the authorization to do it, good luck. You're the guy on the chopping block at that point.
I understand,
it's not gonna happen.
And I wouldn't trust Trump with nukes, as well as I don't trust Biden with nukes. I don't trust Trump with anything. I'm saying is that they could put Scooby-Doo in there right now, and he will get my vote. This is what you got to understand. Me, my whole family, is no matter how Biden performs or what he does right now, or whoever, if they can move him out tomorrow and put in whoever, if Kamala goes in there, she's going to get the vote. Anybody but Trump.
Anybody
this
but
is what you got to understand.
Trump. All right, so which?
Anybody but Trump.
Well, let me ask you this. What is it about Biden that inspires confidence for you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
This is what you got to understand.
Nothing. So if he stays on the ticket, you're going to vote for a guy that does not inspire confidence because all you're doing is voting against Trump.
Exactly, because it's not about that. That's right.
So you're voting on personality politics and not on policy.
No, I'm voting what's the best thing for this country, and Trump is not the best thing for this country.
How can you have a cadaver in the White House and believe that is better than having an active and engaged guy who already spent 4 years there and proved that he can do the job?
An engaged guy that's out for himself.
And so you think that Biden is hanging on to this because he's all for the country. He's a statesman is what you're telling me.
No. This is what you're doing.
You are so lost, my brother. You are so lost right now.
You're not listening to me, bro.
I am listening to you, and I am taken aback.
Because, we didn't elect Biden because we thought he was going to be this dynamic, superb person. He's not Obama. I loved Obama. That's why I voted for Obama. But Biden did never give me those type of feelings, whatever. But I knew he was the only thing we had on the plate in order to deal with Trump. So right now, if they put anybody in there, I don't care who it is, Stormy Daniels, you name it, they're going to get my vote. Because they just going to hold it until somebody else come along that can actually lead this country in a civilized way without radical things like 2025.
Women's rights. By the way, Project 2025, tell me what about Project 2025 scares you. And we only got 30 seconds, but there's nothing in there that scares you.
Is using our children to police their parents. In other words, our children.
Are you kidding me with this? Are you kidding me? You're supporting a group that wants transgenderism for children, and you want drag queen story hour? But you're going to talk about children in Project 2025? That is crap.
Drag queen story hour don't affect me. Drag queen story hour doesn't affect me or my children.
What affects
me is a president saying you can use the military against his own citizens.
It doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say that at all, and he's never said that. You got Joe Biden says, if you want to fight the United States, you better bring an F-16, man. I mean, because he wants your Second Amendment to be written off.
United States. He's talking about the United States. Trump said, if you want to fight me.
Here's a sad commentary that you are voting personality politics, man.
I'm telling you the truth. I am telling you the honest
sad commentary. All right. Coming up next, we got Congressman Dale Strong calling in. Hopefully he'll make more sense. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all. I'm talking about Alabama. And I mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, somebody who actually represents a big swath of that ground is the congressman for the 5th District of Alabama. That's Representative Dale Strong. Congressman Strong hails from the Huntsville region, used to serve on the county commission there in Madison County, is now a freshman congressman, doing a great job. Going to see what his thoughts are on the left unraveling and how it feels up in D.C. right now. Congressman Dale Strong, how you doing?
Phil, it's great to be back on Right Side Radio, and you look at what's going on in D.C., they've definitely got a dumpster fire at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I just had a caller on a minute ago, Kareem from Huntsville, who swears it doesn't matter if they put a house plant in there, he's voting for anybody but Trump, and I'm just thinking, okay, you're welcome to that, but the reality is we still got someone who there's no confidence in his ability to run, which means why is there even confidence in his ability to hold the office?
Well, if he loves higher inflation, higher fuel bills, you think about it, fuel cost the day Donald Trump went out of office here in Madison County, $1.84 for a gallon of regular gas. It's more, it's doubled. If he likes high mortgage rates, go try to buy a new house right now. That's what this administration has brought. If you'd like a president that had preferred to purchase oil from Hugo Chavez rather than pumping it here in America and not being energy effective, Biden's going to be his guy because he's asleep at the switch looking for two scoops of ice cream. That's what we're dealing with. And the media has protected him from day one.
Yeah.
I was one of the 20, Phil, that got asked to come, one of the first 20 freshmen, week one, to come meet the president. I said, hey, let's form our own opinion. We walk in there, And I'm telling you, they introduced Dale Strong, Congressman, 5th District of Alabama. Walk up, shake his hand. Dale Strong, Congressman, 5th District, and he's looking for a teleprompter. I saw it firsthand. I've seen it three or four times at the White House. And I'm telling you right now, the media is complicit. The medical folks that have covered him from day one, and this isn't something new. His cognitive state is not what we need to be leading this country, and I'll promise you he's not making the decisions.
Well, I would agree with that completely. Let me ask you this. In my time in state politics, I was in the state legislature when we had, you know, the issues going on with Robert Bentley, and he wound up stepping down from office. And you like to think that the branches of government can just continue, you know, one's having trouble, the others keep operating, and they do. At the same time, it kind of sucks all the air out of the room. Is this like the topic of conversation up there right now in the middle of everything else? It just feels like it sucks the air out of the room, or are y'all able to move on past it and keep moving?
Well, the big thing is the Republicans are focused on taking care of business. You look at the bill yesterday. We're trying to stop and be sure that this country understands if you're an illegal alien, you have no lawful authority to vote in this country.
Yeah.
We had 198 Democrats that voted to let them vote. But I'll tell you this right here. We have got to stand up as Americans and be sure that we protect this Constitution. And I'll tell you, the Democrats are ready to rewrite it any day. They're just floating on the surfboard. But what we did see is they're in multiple different categories. There's a split in the Democratic Party right now. You've got some saying he's got to go. You've got some that says 25th Amendment. I want him to stay in the race. I want him to go the distance, and let's go in there and see, because I believe Donald Trump's fixed to move and be our next president and make America better for everyone.
Well, and by the way, thank you for bringing up the SAVE Act. I wanted to go to that. So the SAVE Act y'all just passed. Now, granted, Chuck Schumer is not going to put it on the Senate floor right now, but if we can get a Senate back from in Republican majority, we have a chance to advance that at a later time, correct?
That's exactly right. You look at it, Schumer right now, I've seen it firsthand. We go in here and pass H.R. 2, which would be a southern border bill, remain in Mexico, great things to try to solve some of these problems. We pass it on the House floor. It's still sitting in a basket in Schumer's office or wherever it is, and they've not even taken it up. We can't fix problems. At least bring it to the Senate floor and vote on it. But Schumer's part of the problem also.
Well, now, and you sit on Homeland Security, am I correct? Two of the subcommittees, I believe, at least. Am I right in saying that?
Homeland Security, House Armed Services, and Science, Space, and Technology.
Outstanding. That's right. House Armed Services, too. This has got to be a distraction and also a concern for much of D.C. right now, because even though Congress has its role, obviously, in the oversight and in the enactment and in the appropriations, the truth be told, the button and the nuclear codes are sitting across the street in the White House. So how do we feel about national security, knowing that Democrats are obviously voting to let illegals vote, but Biden is still the one sitting over there, and his team is the one that carries the nuclear codes?
You got that right. You've heard it time and again. If you had to wake him up at 2 o'clock, could you do it? What would it take? Is he cognitive to make a decision? And that's the thing that's out there. Everyone understands it's pitiful what we're watching happen. Not only is America not where we need to be, but the world does not even check up whenever our president speaks or says this or that. And I'm telling you right now, it is embarrassing. We can't get January the 15th here soon enough. And then they keep saying, oh, we need to do a cognitive test. I'll tell you what we need to do. Have another debate. Let the American people do the cognitive test. You don't need a neurologist. You let him speak, and you can see that it's not there. It's pitiful. And Trump's ready to go 2-3 hours, however long he wants to go. And I'm telling you right now, we have got to deal with this. Leave him in the race, and let's elect us a president that's going to lead us the direction America needs to go.
So last night they had the strategic big boy press conference. Even Nancy Pelosi said, we're just going to wait and see how he does. Have you talked to any Democrats today? Did they feel like they were inspired by it, comforted by it, or for that matter, were they disappointed? Do you have any idea?
I think it threw more diesel fuel on the fire is what I believe it did. The thing that you've got is Jill Biden's running the show, not Joe Biden. Jill is going to make him stay in the race. The only thing that I think may get their attention, and I could see this happening, is if they go in there and offer them a big guaranteed book deal, trying to figure out how they can get them immunity and all this other stuff, because it's all about money for them, and it's all about the prestige. She loves riding in the presidential limousine, loves having guests there. She loves being on the front covers of magazines. But what we need is a leader for this country and understand the threats that are out there. It's coming from everywhere. Russia, Iran, Israel, just take your pick of what we've watched. Israel gets attacked by air, land, sea, and then they can't count on America. That's unacceptable. They're a great ally, and we need to be helping Benjamin Netanyahu with everything we got.
Yeah, well, it's we got a long row to hoe. I mean, Biden says last night, despite the fact that he spent $174 million or whatever it is so far, that the campaign really hadn't even gotten underway yet.
He also said that Donald Trump was his vice president.
Yeah, he did.
Those are things that stick out to me. And I thought in the debate also was great. He attempted to communicate at some point, and Donald Trump looked over and said, I know y'all don't understand what he said, and I definitely don't. I mean, his communication, it's very sad, to be honest with you. I would hope, you would think, that his wife would say, it's time to go. But again, you've got Hunter wanting him to stay in the ball game. He loves, you look at what's going on right now at the southern border, Phil. It's embarrassing. For every drone we're flying by Border Patrol, the Mexican cartel is flying 17. They're coming into U.S. airspace, landing, dropping 100 pounds of fentanyl, stuffing it with cash, taking it back to Mexico, and they're making the Mexican cartel billionaires. We should be dropping, blocking, or intercepting these drones, but you know that Mayorkas doesn't have a backbone, and the president probably doesn't even know anything about it.
No, I don't think he does, although he did appoint Kamala Harris to be his border czar, and that didn't work out very well. By the way, the Babylon Bee just had a brand new headline, came out about 10 minutes ago, says that that Biden's popularity skyrocketed after he named Trump as his VP. Just so you know.
That is a fact. I'll tell you, I was with President Trump a week ago Wednesday. He's as calm as I've ever seen him. I was in New York with him for closing arguments, and I'll be with him in Milwaukee. But I'm just telling you right now, I don't even think there's a choice. Even Democrats that we run into is like, look, man, we're going to lose this country if we leave Joe Biden there. I totally agree. And so what we spent some time on when we're not in session is trying to go to colleges and universities. These young voters are looking for some hope for America. People are sick of these inflation rates. You go to any grocery store, people are having to make choices on how they feed their families. You look at how the inflation's up another 3%. Biden's telling everybody he's bringing it down, but the facts show different. You go to fill your car up with gas and forget it, man. You're going to put $25 in and get you a half a tank. This is absolutely crazy. You look in the Gulf of Mexico. We are idling at pumping oil, and they want to buy it from Hugo Chavez. The American people are sick of it. Joe Biden is destroying this country, and it's going to take Donald Trump to clean this thing up. And I hope that when he's sworn in on January the 15th, I hope members of Congress are willing to go 7 days a week, because time is short if we don't get control.
Well, Congressman, listen, you're headed to the convention next week. I'm sure you said you're going to be up there. Let me ask you this. We haven't yet heard who the vice president's going to be. We hear there's a short list. Everybody thinks they know who's the short list. What do you think? Where are we going with that?
Don't be surprised if someone that's been listed in the short list, that he goes outside and picks somebody else.
Wow.
I really like Youngkin out of Virginia. But again, that's just one of the things. And the time that I've known the president, he'll have you looking one way, and all of a sudden he brings a great option from somewhere else. No matter who he picks, whether it's shortlist or he goes off with someone else, I'll promise you they'll be better than the vice president we have now, and probably would be better than the president we've got now. We've got to have somebody that's ready to assist, willing to work, understands it's not it's 7 days a week, 24/7, and that we've got a short time to turn it around. But whoever he selects, I'm going to support him 100%.
Well, Congressman, we appreciate you making time today, and thank you very much for that. And we look forward to hearing the outcome of the conference or the convention next week. But in the meantime, safe travels for that, and thanks for what you're doing.
Hey, Phil, thanks for bringing me on, and anything we can do, don't hesitate to call.
All right, take care now. That was Congressman Dale Strong, a Republican from Huntsville, representing the 5th District of Alabama. Pretty adamant. I've heard him speak emphatically before, but that was about as emphatic as I've ever heard him speak. A lot of passion behind it. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back and put a lid on this thing. But, man, I'll tell you what, first 2 hours of the show, one topic, right? Left is unraveling. Unraveling. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just golly bum, making common sense like a superpower. So, hey, let me pause here a second, though, and tell you guys about our newest advertiser, Inspire Advisors, all right? Inspire Advisors. I'd like you to go check them out, really and truly. Inspire Advisors. Here's the deal. I know my audience. I know a bunch of y'all out there. You care about your retirement plans and your investments and all those things, but you're also the kind of people, a bunch of right-side ruffians, who stand up for what you believe in. Well, what if you found out, though, that in the middle of doing investments, that some of those investments were going to things that are contrary to what you believe in? It happens all the time. So let me make a suggestion to you. You might want to go check out Paul Breyer and his team of PhDs and financial experts at Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. Look, I'm talking about financial planning that considers who you are, what you believe in, and your bottom line all at the same time. So these are solid local experts, y'all, using biblical, responsible investing techniques, data-driven strategies, maximizing your returns, and they do it in a way that has real impact on your bottom line, but also the world in which you live, and I mean that. This is what we call financial freedom. So here's a free thing you might want to check out. Maybe you want to go check your portfolio and measure it against a free impact report. They can give you a free impact report at their website, Inspire Advisors, at moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. You can also go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, rightsidemedia.org. Go to our sponsors tab, click on the logo for Inspire Advisors, goes right to their website. Free impact report. And by the way, this is conservative. This is godly. This is balanced. This is financial freedom. It's Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. Let me take some text messages because, oh my soul, it just like, holy cow. So apparently, Kareem always generates text messages. Can we just go ahead and say it that way? Kareem is a text message generator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy from Madden says, Kareem needs to stop supporting Lucifer's agenda and get rid of his agenda. I don't know what it is that makes the left it feel like snowflakes about he needs some. Okay, I'm trying to have a time reading Jeremy's text, but I get your point. Good enough. John M. from Huntsville says, last week, England elected a new prime minister, Keir Starmer. I watched him do a press conference afterwards, was highly impressed with his intelligence, knowledge, and excellent communication skills. If you want to understand just how poorly Biden and Harris compare, just watch a few minutes of Starmer's press conference and Biden's. After watching them, you should have no doubt what the rest of the world is thinking. Fair enough. John from Huntsville says, Kareem said he voted for Obama and liked what Obama did as president, but I thought behind the scenes Obama's our current president, so I guess Kareem really doesn't care that much about Obama. Also, I think that whatever Kareem was trying to say made less sense than Joe Biden last night. So if my choices are Joe Biden or Kareem, I think I'd vote for Joe Biden, says John from Huntsville. Well played, sir. Rita from Scottsboro says, Kareem, I literally rolled my eyes so hard I hurt my brain. Or I rolled my eyes so hard I saw my brain. Rita from Scottsboro. Kareem, JT Lacey Springs says, Kareem tends to have reasonable topics initially and then drifts off subject. To vote for whoever's on the ticket is scary, such as Stormy Daniels. Then one would assume that Lewinsky would be VP. Wow. No kidding. Oh, well played. Who else we got? Marie from Madison says, Phil, you should have asked your last caller if he actually took the time to read Project 2025, or is this parroting Democrat talking points? I knew what it was. He hasn't read it. He hasn't. So, yeah. Thank you. Navy Phil from Athens. Wow, amazing demonstration of those feeding at the trough of propaganda. Thank you, Phil, for giving him airtime, as many of us listened with incredulity. Yeah, Kareem and I, we go back and forth at it, but he's welcome on the show, and he knows it, because I've got to be willing to give and take. Yeah, with Kareem, it's a little more give. I have to. Molly from Huntsville. The last caller said that Trump's priorities are doing what is best for Trump, but Biden and his family are the ones taking millions of Chinese dollars. I know, Molly. I know. But they don't want to admit that, right? Kim from Athens says, isn't it scary how many people are just like that guy who just called? There you go. Steve from Tennessee. Trump wants to make America great again. Dems want to make America start over again. Ain't happening. Steve from Tennessee. Put that on a bumper sticker. That was a t-shirt right there. Trump wants to make America great again. Dems want to make America start over again. Wow. Ain't happening. All right. And then Tyler from Huntsville says, I love Kareem.
Well, he's got one fan.
Yeah. Or maybe it's sarcasm. All right, we're changing the subject when we get back. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Friday. You guys have been an amazing audience keeping this show going. And I'll say it's still going. Text lines are wide open. And literally just popping in by the second. And Wolverine Dan is on line one. Wolverine Dan, how you doing, brother?
Well, Phil, let's put this in perspective, okay?
All right.
Now, I'm digging really deep here, and this is how I live my life. You know, Phil, these, how do I say it, numb N-word in Washington, D.C., you know, they do what they do, and they try to mix things up and for their constituents, which is understandable. But they also like to line their pockets. But you know what, Phil? I'm a man that's – I'm not a millionaire. I'm not. But I did well, and I saved. And I've got a good pension through the government, thank God. And I've got Social Security coming down the road when I want to take it. But the point is this, Phil. I spent the whole afternoon with my 3-year-old granddaughter – in a kiddie pool with my wife, and we threw water balloons at each other. Tell me that isn't what we all want to be.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
There's the perspective, Phil. It's not about what these idiots are going to do. The majority of them, they try to do well, but there's some really bad people there that they really don't care about us. But you know, Phil, they can't touch me or be part of my life when I'm with my little granddaughter, 3 years old, in a kiddie pool, having a big old time, and she's laughing. And I have a sincere laugh that comes out of my stomach that I don't get that often. But when I'm with her, I do. So, Phil, all your listeners, listen. It's about perspective and how much you love to be with the people you love.
What a great line, man. Hey, thanks for bringing that back around. And you're absolutely right. And I worry that sometimes people are losing sight of that. You can't get so wrapped up in politics that you forget the most important thing. I actually had my 2-year-old granddaughter in the studio with me this morning with my 5-year-old grandson, and just wouldn't trade it for the world.
That's right. Look at your hand. It's 5 fingers, right? And that hand does wonderful things. He builds something, or she builds something, cooks something, bakes something, shakes a hand, puts a hand on someone's back. So when you look at your hand next time, the one more thing it does, 5 words in the English language that English language would be something that I've always wanted to live by. Do the next right thing.
Wolverine Dan, you are philosophical today, and I like it. Have a great weekend, my brother.
See you, brother.
See you, man. Good stuff. What a great way to bring it back around. Well, listen, we're going to shift gears. All right, we could talk about the Democrats unraveling all day long. I want to talk about another topic near and dear to my heart. So I'm going to go into something right now. Stay with me on that. I know my audience. I got a bunch of green suiters out there that are still on active duty that are listening. I got a bunch of folks that work at Redstone Arsenal and other military installations, and your civilian contractors or your retirees. And you got a bunch of folks out there that are just patriots or have family members who are in the military. I'm all of the above. I've got folks doing all of the above right now, including myself. So the military has been a huge part of my personal life, and I would not trade a minute in uniform for all the money in the world. It's enriched me. It has blessed me. It has given me experiences, some of which were terrifying, but I grew because of them. And at the same time, here's the deal: I still honestly and fully believe that the military, the U.S. military, is one of the greatest opportunities for service and patriotism anywhere in the world. I believe it stands for the right things. I believe it's filled with the right people. Where I get deeply concerned, though, is the upper crust that sort of glazes over and sees it as a petri dish for social experimentation. The U.S. military is there to win wars and break stuff. That's it. We are there to provide for the common defense. The U.S. military is the greatest fighting force on the face of the earth. Why would you degrade that? Why would you waste its time? Why would you try to denigrate its quality? And yet we are seeing that on a regular basis. Full credit, by the way, part of this topic I'm about to go into comes from somebody on Twitter who sent me a direct message. It goes by the name of Colonel Gerald Maxwell on Twitter. But he sent me a tweet, and I thought, oh, surely not. Hopefully this is either like something that was being misconstrued or, you know, generated as a meme and it wasn't real. But it appeared to be someone took a snapshot of a slide that was up on the wall during a briefing. You can see the backs of someone's heads in it. It's an anti-terrorism brief that was held on, well, it's now called Fort Liberty, but it's Fort Bragg. That's Fort Bragg, by the way, Fort Liberty, to those who choose to go by the new names. Fort Liberty is the home of U.S. Army Special Operations. It's the home of the 82nd Airborne Division. It's the seat of paratrooperism in all the world. I mean, you got other places where airborne units live, but Fort Bragg is like, man, they train them at Fort Benning, but they grow them at Fort Bragg. And here's an anti-terrorism brief, a slide. I'm looking at it. That is an anti-terrorism brief listing pro-life organizations as terrorist organizations. I kid you not. I'm looking at it. There's Operation Rescue. There's National Right to Life. Their logos are on the slide as part of a watch out for these organizations type slide. It includes screenshots also of a license plate that you apparently see that says, I'm for it, which is apparently something that pro-lifers, you know, put on their car. I've never had it on mine, but it's a pro-life style license plate. It even has New York Choose Life as part of it. The slide goes on to mention the activities these organizations participate in, things like opposing Roe v. Wade and protesting truth displays and picketing. They also attribute the bombing of abortion clinics to a National Right to Life. They're labeling them as extremists, but they're doing it on Fort Bragg as a mandatory briefing that our military members have to sit through as a requirement because the Department of Defense is being run by people who are all about rooting out so-called systemic racism and extremism and at the same time instituting woke policies. This is absolutely insane. And I look back, you remember, I mean, we've been seeing this now for the last few years, but you may remember when Biden got elected, one of the first things he did was authorize Department of Defense, Secretary of Department of Defense, Lloyd Austin, to basically shut down training across the entire U.S. military to address extremism. But they called it far-right extremism. They didn't say, if you're a member of Black Lives Matter and you think it's cool to burn buildings, they didn't say if you're pro-Palestinian supporters, they don't do that. They put up slides that say things like National Right to Life. So you've got a constant berating of the military. You don't build a fighting force and overcome your recruiting issues by constantly tearing down the institution that you say you care about. Now, it's part of the left-wing ideology. I've got a piece here from Fox that came out this morning, as a matter of fact. The headline says, Blue City hires an equity trainer who calls the U.S. military the home of white supremacy as part of culture change. Yeah. So Albuquerque, New Mexico, hired Mayor Tim Keller hired an equity coordinator or an equity trainer to come in and basically, you know, help establish a cultural change. So he established the Office of Equity and Inclusion. And one of the equity consultants they hired was Zamil Sahab from an organization called Raced Consulting. With far-left views that include things like the U.S. military being the home of white supremacy. Sahab, by the way, is the first, calls themselves the genderqueer first-generation American, post-9/11 veteran. Great. All about being the first generation and being black and being queer and then going to the home of the white supremacy and patriarchy, the military. Little did I realize what damage I was doing to myself and what I'd have to go through in order to deconstruct myself after getting out of the service. Blah, 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 blah. Listen, the bottom line is this. You're going to meddle with our military. And then you're going to wonder why your recruiting numbers are down. You're going to go after fandom extremists and claim that there's a problem in our ranks, but you never find it. You don't. You know why? Because there is no systemic problem within the ranks. It's a melting pot of our society. The same as you might have the one-off racist in civilian society, you're going to have the one-off racist in military society, but you're also going to have the vast majority of those are going to be kids who wanted to do something that stretched them. You're going to have young men and women who chose a life of service at reduced pay. Some of them hopefully to earn a 9/11 post-9/11 GI Bill they can go to school with or something like that. But the reality is this, you're going to wind up having the vast majority of those kids are being taught to work hard. They're being taught to have discipline. They're being taught to have standards. They're being taught to show up on time. They're being taught to do things and be willing to go places that might be harder than what their friends are doing who are not in uniform. And you're going to tear them down the entire time? Come on. Give me a break here. Do not try to say you love the U.S. military, and yet your goal, in fact, the cultural aspect of the left's goal, is to say it's systemically racist, it's wrong, it's filled with patriarchy, because it's not. Why do I say that? Because I'm the third generation of Army officers. I have 30 years of service on my own, and I've got family members on active duty now, and it's not there. All right, we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back, and we'll dive into that a little more. You're welcome to call in and give me your thoughts on it. I'm talking about military meddling. That's where we are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.